भगवद्गीता 5.4 सांख्य योगौ पृथग् बालः प्रवदन्ति न पंडितः एकमप्यास्थितः सम्यक् उभयोर्विन्दते फलम्। सांख्य योगौ पृथग् बालः, पृथग् पृथग् मीन्स डिफरेंट। सो दिस भगवद्गीता 5.4, कृष्णा इज आंसरिंग अर्जुनस क्वेश्चन, व्हाट इज बेटर, इज वर्किंग बेटर, इज कर्मयोगा बेटर और कर्म संन्यास बेटर। So there may be some confusion here because in different verses, the different words are used to refer to the same concepts. So here, now Krishna uses the word Sankhya to refer to Karma Sannyas, and he uses the word Yoga to refer to Karma Yoga. This is the same nomenclature that Krishna has used in 3.3 while answering Arjuna's question. Arjuna had asked a similar question about what is better, in action or renunciation is better. And there Krishna had given two categories in 3.3, Loke smin vividha nishtha pura prokta mayanagha jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam. So jnana yogis, those who renounce action, Krishna has referred to them as sankhyanam. And those who do action with detachment, karma yogis, Krishna has referred to them as yoginam. So Krishna is using the same nomenclature here. So here the Karma Yogi refers to Yoga, and Karma Sannyasi, is referred to by Sankhya. So Sankhya Yoga Prithag, that these two paths of renunciation and action, that they are different, or these two concepts are different. Sankhya Yoga Prithag Balaha, that they are different. This is a childish opinion. Children think like this. Now children may have their innocence, but they don't have much discrimination, they don't have much intelligence. So when we say, this is a childish idea, that means it does not have much depth, it does not have much maturity. So it is based on superficial appearance. So similarly, Krishna is writing over here, Sankhya Yoga Prithag Balaha Pravadanti Na Panditaha. Na Panditaha. Panditaha is the wise people. They don't speak like this. Na Pravadanti. Why? Why do they not speak like this? Because they understand ekam apyasthitah samyag. Ekam api, if one becomes situated in asthitah, if a person becomes situated in any one of these also, asthitah, properly situated, then ubhayor vindate phalam. Ubhayor means of both, vindate enjoys, phalam is the fruit. Now here Krishna is taking this discussion deeper. So the third chapter and fifth chapter have a similar starting point and a similar flow of thought, similar analysis going on, but the concepts and the depth of analysis is going much more, is becoming much more penetrating. So here Krishna is telling that the two of these paths, they are not different. Now we may say, how can they not be different? It's clear that their process is different. So we see that, say, in Sankhya, one gives up action and focuses on contemplation, inner analysis, to analyze matter, to deconstruct matter into its fundamental elements, thereby understanding that actually the charm of the captivation of matter is illusory, and I need to go beyond that. And after that, to actually go beyond this by the practice of bhakti. So by the practice of, to actually rise to the spiritual level of consciousness by recognizing the illusoriness of all material attractiveness. So clearly the path of Sankhya is the path of discrimination analysis, which is based on contemplation and inaction. But the path of Yoga, here you refer to Karma Yoga, is based on action. So how can one say that the two are not different? So here Krishna answers this question by saying that that the children see the difference of the process, but the panditaha, the learned, see the commonality of their purpose. So the two may have a different process, but they have a common purpose. What is the common purpose? That common purpose is to go beyond matter to spirit. That common purpose is to realize one's spiritual identity and to become situated in spiritual reality. And that's why Krishna says over here, Ekam api asthitaha. If one becomes situated properly, successfully in one path, that means one attains success in one path, then Ubhayor vindate phalam. That person gets the fruits of both. That means the fruit of both is the same. But to understand this, let's say consider two different processes for the same purpose. Say, for example, there is allopathy, which is a branch of medicine, and there is Ayurveda, which is another branch of medicine. Now, their modes of analysis are different, and their procedures of treatment are different, but they have a common purpose. That common purpose is to restore the patient to the health. So, now there can be people who may question, the allopaths may question and criticize the merits of Ayurveda. They may say it's outdated, it's unscientific, it's this, that, it's impractical, whatever. And similarly, Ayurvedic practitioners may criticize allopathy. You know, it has so many side effects, it is so invasive, and it is expensive, and this and that, whatever. But the important point is, these are flaws in the implementation of the process. But there are people who have been cured by Ayurvedic medicine. There are people who have been cured by allopathic medicine also. So the process has a similar intent. Both the processes, despite their dissimilarities in operation, in function, in their function, they have the same similarity in destination. So the way they work may be different, but the destination that they go to is the same. So Krishna is saying similarly over here, both Sankhya and Yoga are meant ultimately to take a person towards liberation, to take the person towards the supreme destination, towards beyond material consciousness to spiritual consciousness. So now, children or childish people can't see beyond appearance to substance, and that's why when they see the difference between Sankhya and Yoga, and they say that, oh, these are two different paths. But Krishna states over here that the wise people are not deceived by appearances. They see the similarity of intent, and based on perceiving the similarity of intent, they see the commonality. And that's why Ekam api asthitaha samyag. If one becomes situated properly in one path, the person gets the results of both the paths. So here Krishna is actually taking the discussion deeper. If you see in the third chapter, when Krishna contrasted Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga, there the primary argument was that if the unqualified people practice Karma Jnana Yoga, then they will become hypocrites, and therefore it is better to practice Karma Yoga. So that was the analysis initially, and from 3.1 to 8. And then from 3.9 onwards, 3.16, how it was that you'll be able to, by doing Karma Yoga, one contributes to society, the cosmic cycle of Yajna. Then, when sets a proper example by doing Karma Yoga, that was 3.17 onwards to 3.24. So, basically the idea is that it is better for you to do Karma Yoga because that's what is best for society and best for you according to your level. But now Krishna is not talking about individual level right now. He is talking about ultimate destination. That both take us to the same destination. And this is a very important but subtle point where Krishna is actually, rather than simply acknowledging that, okay, Jnana Yoga is higher, but you are not at a high enough consciousness to practice it. Krishna says that actually by Karma Yoga itself one can attain perfection. Now, Sukham Bandhat Pramuchyate, as was said in the previous verse. Now, how exactly Karma Yoga will lead to perfection, will lead to liberation, that will be discussed in the subsequent flow of this chapter, and that will require an understanding of how Karma Yoga actually metamorphoses by the grace of the devotees, by the grace of devotee guru, into Bhakti Yoga, and that Bhakti Yoga will lead to supreme perfection. That will be discussed later. But essentially, Krishna is now underscoring here that that by the practice of karma, one can get the same result that one can get from the practice of jnana, sankhya, and therefore, don't think of those two to be different. See that similarity of purpose and focus on that. Thank you.